Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org. This episode is titled, The Change Points of Our Lives. Here is Gabriel of Urantia.
Okay, to continue with the change points of our lives, the change point of Urantia. The change point of Urantia is going to happen by the many, many millions of change points of individual lives. And if those millions of change points do not happen in the lives of millions of people, then we're not going to have a planetary change point, and we probably will end up in destruction on this planet, as predicted by many prophecies, Nostradamus, the Hopis, the Bible, Old and New Testament, and so on and so on and so on. One of the problems in rebellion is that we influence one another. And I'd like to read to you the word influence. A power indirectly or intangibly affecting a person or course of events. Power to sway or affect based on prestige or wealth. A person or thing exercising such power. And to modify. Strangely enough, we get the word influenza. An acute infectious viral disease characterized by inflammation of the respiratory tract, fever, muscular pain, and intestinal irritation. Influenza. And we many times are on influenza influenza to one another. We act as a virus to each other. And sometimes by misplaced compassion, we adhere to the wishes of each other, to the wills of each other. We hear the word when we're children, peer pressure, you know, quite often we follow the gang, you know, and we want to please our friends. And, actually, this should only be one person that we should want to please, and that's God. God the Father. And so when we please God, then we can please others. And sometimes we need to please God the Mother. When we please God the Mother, then we can please others. Basically, we need to please God. And so when we find ourselves pleasing other than God, then we can make the wrong choice many, many, many times, over and over and over again. We please our parents. Many of our parents, we've outgrown them when we were 4 years old. By the time we're 6 or 7 years old, we should be teaching some of our parents, particularly those of us that are older souls and starseed. And that is what's happening on the planet today. Unfortunately, many of the starseed children, they have no examples. They don't know themselves like our children. They know they're starseed. They know they've come from other planets. They know they come from higher, or they know they've had past lives. They know a lot of things. So our children in this community, they mature a lot faster than we did out there, having maybe authority to say something right, but then not really but presenting our truth in a higher way and standing by it because we were easily influenced by others. And so a change point in our lives needs to come in many, many, as Neon said, times in our life where we no longer are trying to please our parents. When that change point comes in our lives, we decide, well, I am no longer going to try to please my mother or my father. Well, sometimes you may be 30 years old before that happens. Sometimes you may be 40s. You may be in your 40s before that happens. For many, many, many people, it takes to be in their 40s before they can really break away from the influence of the parents. Sometimes they can never break away. Somehow, some way, parental influence can keep to last on us a lifetime. When we can make that first break from our parents, when we can say, no, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I don't care what you think. I'm going to do what I want to do and dress what I want to do. And hopefully you're following God, you know, not the parents. If your parents follow God, like you're following God, everything would be right and you'd both be in the divine mind. But if they aren't, then you have to follow God. When you can do that, that could be a great first change point in your life. Then you might need to make another change point, and that's not follow your wife or your husband. Because sometimes your wife or your husband becomes, you know, your God. Many, many people live and die in wrong relationships in a lifetime, particularly, you know, I just saw a movie where Catholics, you know, who many, even now today, don't believe in divorce. They've stayed in these terrible marriages all of their life, even when the wives are being abused and beaten by the husband, because they just don't believe in divorce. But those that began to change point in their lives, I will no longer stay with my wife or my husband because of them, I will follow God. My wife or my husband is not living up to what they should be in God. When they begin to make this change point in their life, this may lead the wife to seek her own career outside of being a housewife. Not that being a housewife is unfulfilling or improper, but you know, Native Americans teach the rainbow woman and the great nurturing mother, and some ascending daughters basically need to have something outside of the household. And so many wives who begin to say, look, I want to have my own career. I feel that God is calling me to be something other than basically a housewife. Well, the husband right away, no, you don't. No, you don't. You know, I'll take care of you. You don't work on the outside. If the wife says, I'm going to, then you better believe that divorce is going to happen if she's strong enough to walk away from the control of her unbalanced, macho husband, an ignorant husband. She has to be strong enough to walk away from that abuse, because that's really what it is. Well, the husband now is another situation. He may have to quit his job to start his own business, or to go into the career of his destiny. So he has to have a change point, because the wife's saying, you better keep to that job because we need that steady paycheck. How dare you to think about quitting that job? How dare you to think that you're going to quit that job and not even knowing where you're going to go, what you're going to do, and you have all this security and all this seniority for years. Well, you can't do that. Look at the children. How are they going to live and eat? And on and on and on and on and on and on. So the husband, he stays in this job he hates all his life, you know, unless he has a change point. And not only does he then have to have the change point to do that, walk away from that job, but he has to tell his employer, I'm no longer loyal to you. And so employer, he wants his employee to do the job his way, do it my way. So a lot of very talented people in many careers, they can't really advance in their God-given gifts because the employer, who's not as maybe as intelligent or as creative or whatever, they have the employee down here somewhere and they can't ever grow. So they have to have a change point away from just their employer sometimes. When you switch religions, that can be a change point. You know, you ever hear it, you know, the Reformation happened in 1621 on this planet. And for some today, the Reformation never happened. Mm-hmm. I'm a Catholic. I'll be a Catholic forever. I was born a Catholic. I was baptized a Catholic. And by God, I'll die a Catholic. And that's what you hear. And you hear the same thing with Baptists. You hear the same thing with Lutherans and Methodists and so on and so on. They never have a change point. That change point has to come. It has to come for all the isms, religions in the world. That change point has to come, and every individual on this planet needs to realize that there's continued revelation, that God gives continued revelation. The expanding reality of the master universe is there for us to know and to understand the cosmic God, the experiential God. And then there's a big change when you're becoming a parent. Before that, you're single, no responsibility, you know. But then all of a sudden, you're a mommy or daddy, and you got to feed your children, clothe them, and house them. That's a change point, believe me. And some of us have had many points of those changes in many of our lives in the past. We've had many children. Until you begin to have that change point, you know, you don't grow up as fast. But you grow up real fast when you have children and try and raise them. The hardest change, however, is in our thinking, changing our thinking processes. That's the hardest change, because to perceive, to change our perceptions, to become aware of reality through the senses, and to observe, to detect, to perceive, to achieve understanding, the act or result of perceiving is perception, awareness, discernment, insight. Of or pertaining to perception, having the ability to perceive, discerning, it's perceptive. How do you view your reality? We all view reality differently. Many people are living in non-reality on the whole planet, living on a fallen world. The majority of the billions of people on this planet, they just have to try to survive every day. Basically, their reality is getting up, trying to make enough money to buy enough food to survive, or to get enough food some way to survive their just the sheer existence, being able to get enough food in you to make it to the next day. Some people walk hundreds of miles sometimes for water, at least sometimes 10 miles a day for water and for firewood every day, just to survive. That is their perception of reality. Here in America, where we don't have it like that, we have a different kind of perceptions of reality based upon what the media, what television tells us we should be, what we should do, what we should look like. This is how we should dress. This is how we should talk. This is how we should walk. So we have the media that emulates what we're supposed to be. And we grew up watching television every day. Many of us did that and had to break out of that habit. So we have a formula for understanding reality. However, sometimes I have to caution you that 2 and 2 does not always add up to 4. Because if you look at reality as you would mathematics, then your view of reality will be very, very, very limited. Because the world is not so black and white. Reality, true reality, is not so black and white. But when it becomes that black and white, and your 2 and 2 always adds up to 4, whatever that may be, whatever your formula is, if it's that narrow, then you basically be judgmental, and you could become very self-righteous in your view of reality. And a lot of people on this planet, particularly in Christian fundamentalism, Muslim fundamentalism, and so on, Jewish fundamentalism, they basically, the 2 and 2 adds up to 4 all the time. And we can't go through life like that, because it's a big universe. It's a big, big, big universe. And we are just one little speck here in that great master universe. And so we are just one little culture here in America. We also, as we teach in continuing Fifth Epic of Revelation, we have to remember is that we are an inter-universal world. We have people living here on this planet, the souls. Their point of origin is from 3 other different universes and from other planets of those universes where we once lived and lived a whole different reality than what we've tried to live and have been forced to live here on this planet. So we've never been fulfilled. We've never been happy. We've never been complete. We can't look at the world through that narrow-mindedness. And so change point must happen in your minds. a change point must happen in your minds where you can begin to see the big picture. What is the big picture? The grand universe. The grand universe. And realize there are people living here, right here. They may look human, but their point of origin is different than you. You might be from this planet. They might be from another planet. And so together, at some point, we together are trying to build a new future for this planet. That is an experimental planet that has souls on this planet from all over the grand universe, at least from four different universes as we know it, including this one, Nebadon. So can you expand your mind to meet that challenge? In order for you to view the reality that God is calling you to view, you can't make quick decisions so quickly. You can't look at this and say, aha, you know, look at that and say, aha. You have to incorporate so many other criteria into your decision-making, into your judgments. You know, it's okay to make a judgment because there are absolutes and there are right and wrongs, but you can't be so quick to judge. And that's what Jesus was saying. And he said, do not judge, lest ye be judged. He didn't say, what he meant by that is you should never judge. Because he also said that one day we would judge the angels, the fallen angels. So if we're to judge the fallen angels, we have to know what we're judging. And sometimes we have to judge each other. We have to judge our children. When the child was brought before Solomon and both mothers said, this is my son. And the other one said, this is my son. So Solomon had to decide which mother to give it to. So Solomon said, well, take the son outside, chop him in half, give one half to one mother and one half to the other. And the real mother said, oh no, please take me and chop me in half. Solomon knew who the real mother was, gave the child to the mother. You know, you have to use wisdom. Although the other mother, she might have had all the right answers, all the eloquent speech, all of the proof that was her child. The final result was, take the child outside, cut it in half. The real mother said, wait, take me, cut me in half. So sometimes all the evidence doesn't add up. Sometimes it does. Truth is not so easy to discern sometimes. It's just not so easy to discern. If it was, the world wouldn't be in such a mess. In Kaligasti, the fallen being, his whole trip has been to distort the truth. Distort the fact that there's a loving, eternal God, that is a personality. Distort that beautiful fact, the truth. Easier to call God a force or an energy. Don't call God a father. So now we have, if you call God a father, the feminine movement gets mad because, oh, God's a mother. And so you can't even talk. You hate me because I call God a father. You don't like me because I call God a father. But first and foremost, God is the father. What is the father's role in a family? Protector. Yes, God is also a mother. Of course he is. She is. Of course God is neither male nor female. But God is personality. God is personality. And we are the ascending evolutionary personalities of God in human form. There are other mortals that aren't human. There are other mortals out there that express God in their mortalness that aren't human, that look very different than us, and yet they're expressions of God, the Father. They are expressions of God, the Mother. And so here we are. You think that this is all that there is. One of the reasons why they can't land their ships, the rednecks will be shooting at them with 12-gauge shotguns. That's why they can't land their ships. Unless they look like us. God forbid. Higher beings in higher worlds, they're taller than us. They're more perfect than us. They eat the right foods. They're not overweight or underweight. They're perfect. Higher humans. Higher mortals. On higher worlds, they reflect more their higher thinking. On lower worlds, our bodies reflect our lower thinking. There's a teaching on that. It's beginning to cosmic family. in the volume 2 or 3. And so the truth, you know, just because a person on this world is a big, big fat person, you think, oh, what a glutton. A person, you may eat more than that person. You may be a bigger glutton than that big fat person you're judging. I got a cousin back in Pittsburgh. I won't say his name. I love him very much. He cannot eat probably everyone in this room. I've seen him eat 3 or 4 large pizzas. We used to get 1 large pizza for him and 2 or 3 for everyone else. And he was skinny all his life, his metabolism. But boy, just some of us, we walk by food, we gain 10 pounds. You know, we smell it. Oh, we just gained a pound by just whiffing it in. You know, you know, and that's the way it is. The metabolism is different. You know, some of us have more active lives. Some of us, you know, our jobs, our careers, God's will calls for us basically to use our mind more than our bodies. And so we do gain weight on this planet. However, we can't be called gluttons because God's will calls for us to have a different kind of career that uses our mind more than our physical body at this point, because 5 years from now, it may be different. 10 years from now, 50 years from now, it may be different. 50 years ago, it may have been different. 100 years ago, it may have been different for some of the starseed on this planet. And so we can't judge by outward appearance. We cannot do that. What is truth? You know, what is individuality in God? You know, a great change point comes in your life when all you try to do is follow what God wants you to do. That's a great change point. And get out of the influences. And we do tell people, when you come into this community, except for your understanding of who God is, keep that one to some whatever level you can, because that might change a little bit. But understand that there is a God, you know, the foundation, there is a God. But throw everything else away. There's a school called Phenomenology that basically teaches you to doubt everything you've ever learned. And in a lot of ways, that's very good, because a lot of stuff that we do learn is false. And in the field of science, everything's a theory. Theory, theory. And there's so many theories, and people live and die by those theories. And when you read those science books, which I've studied physics, I can't pronounce half the words, but I study it anyway. And the beings can use what I've studied. But I found out that none of that is absolutely true, nor do they even know that it's truth that they live and die by. Some scientists that have lived and died by their theories of reality, it becomes proven in another lifetime that none of that was true. You know. Yet, in that lifetime, they were respected and renowned, and all right, for it. But, so, we need to have a change point. And those change points will continue to happen in each one of your lives. Someone said, are you born again? What do you mean, born again? Because you need to continue to be born again. It's something that didn't just happen to you. And one of the biggest problems on this planet in fundamentalism, fundamentalist ways of thinking, is that they don't change their thinking enough to be born again. Continually, you must be rebirthing. Continually, you must be changing. Continually, you must be going through a change point. That's through eternity. It's not just on this planet. Wouldn't life be very boring in eternity if you never changed? You know, wouldn't it be boring? How many of you are the same person you were 5 years ago? In some way you changed. In some way you've changed. I hope you have. Think of a 5-year-old. Think of a 10-year-old. Think of a 15-year-old. When you're 20, you should be a little higher when you're 15. When you're 25, you should be a little bit more mature than 20. And so on, and so on, and so on. Sometimes you meet somebody, they're 25 years old or 30 years old, the movie Michael Collins. There's a man that led a whole nation to independence in Ireland. He lived and died. He was 31 years old when he died. He was assassinated. But he was 31 years old and he led a whole nation. Maturity comes for some a lot faster than others. It could come for all of us at God's timetable if we do not allow the influences of lower thinking and lower minds to keep us back. What was the quote from Einstein? Great spirits always encounter violent opposition from mediocre minds. And that's one of the problems on the planet. And all of you here in this community, Urantian and Starseed alike, are being called to be great spirits. You are being called to be Mahatmas. Great souls, Mahatmas. You are being called to be great ones. And don't be afraid of that. You don't have to be like everyone else. You don't have to be the good old boy. You don't have to be the good old girl. You don't have to be what, you know, they're saying you have to be in order to be accepted. You know, it might be better for you to play the devil's advocate for a while, you know, so that they can change back there, the ones that are trying to keep you back. And so I encourage all of you to continue with the change point. Continue changing your thinking, changing your views of reality, and formulating higher formulas to understand what's going on in your reality, not only here in the community, but outside of the reality of this community, so that you can be a higher influence for change on this planet. Remember the words, change agents. Change agents. And you are being called to be a change agent. You're being called to be a 21st century apostle. And each of you, you're not here by accident. There is no accidents. And so that's how it happens. The particle reality connects, you know, with our past astral reality, you know. So change point. You know, we keep on discovering who we are. You know, we keep on changing. And it's such a beautiful thing. You know, because we are the change point, each other, you know, and let's keep on changing. God bless you.
Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase. An ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.